ervaring. Me and my fam take this rap shit serious.
Yo, 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 mic check. 1, 2, mic check. 1, mic check. Motherfucker 2. Episode, this is 107?
107, yeah.
Episode 107, Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, your other host.
And yeah, we are on and cracking. How you been, Josh?
I'm good, man. Yo, I registered.
To vote?
No.
Word.
When I go vote, I just go in there and just throw my fist up and toss the table over.
Yes, kick over a table.
And knock over the voting booths and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So it fucks all the votes up. I think that's how it works. I don't
know.
Yeah,
yeah. That's how you win.
I had to go register my daughter for high school because my daughter's just moved out of the city. My son lives with me, but my daughter's moved out to the counties.
Oh, shit.
So I had to go register my daughter at school today, at high school. Yeah. My other daughter got registered yesterday, but my oldest, she had to go to register for 10th grade. Dog, this school looks like a high school you see on TV.
Like some 90210 shit?
Yeah, wow. Exactly. Like some 90210 shit.
Some Gossip Girl shit?
Yeah, some wow. Super clean, crazy, like, dog, there's a whole, like, when you walk up, like, the right side of the building, it, like, does, like, a U almost, right?
Oh, okay.
The right side of the building is the gymnasium. It just says gymnasium on like the outside part of the gym. And then on the left side, it says auditorium. And it's like all glass and you can see through to it.
Ooh.
I'm like, this is some fly
shit. She go to
shit.
School in the future.
Yeah.
God damn.
Or we just...
we was in a fucking dungeon.
Yeah, exactly.
Public school dungeon.
So we go in the gym. We're getting registered or whatever. Dog, like the list of shit. She's like, she's taking ceramics.
Oh, nice. Mosaics.
Yeah. She's taking they have a home ec like studies program.
Right.
But like there's subdivisions in there. She's taking international cuisine.
What?
So like she's gonna learn to make like international. Dog, when I went to home ec in like in middle school, because we didn't have it in high school, like dog, you just went in and like, made cookies every week. And, like, that was the shit you did. You didn't do no international cuisine.
Dog, I had home ec like 1 year. I ain't make shit. I don't know what. It was one of those ones. It was like, I don't know if it was home ec / health, but it was like subdivided.
Yeah, we did home ec. When I was in middle school at Baldy, we did home ec and like sewing. So you would make like a pillow. And then, like, the rest of the year, like, you would make, like, a project for one class, and then the next class, you did one thing. Like, you didn't do, like, oh, each week we do or each day we're doing a different type of thing. Granted, my daughter set her microwave on fire at her mom's house because she forgot to put water in the cup of noodles.
Jesus.
She just, like, put it in the microwave.
She's like, boom, here you go.
And set the whole microwave on fire. Yo. Like, burnt up the cabinets and shit like that.
God damn.
She's taking international cuisine.
So now she's going to be cooking, like, escargot.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
They got a fucking pool.
What?
Like, they have, like, subdivisions of gym that you can take. And it's, like, one is aquatic aerobics.
What?
I was like...
Rollerball.
Dog, we... just went there and played. They rolled out basketball. It was like, yo, it's gym class.
They just threw balls at us.
Yeah.
Dog, I remember, I can't think of what teacher it was. It wasn't the gym teacher that I kicked in the balls. I'll tell that story someday. But one of our teachers, we had like, it was gendered. So the girls went and did something else. And he combined two boys' classes. And he had us play, I swear to God, shirts versus skins, tackle basketball. I swear to God.
Dog, that was the shit they did when we were in school.
So niggas, this shit was like prison, dog. Yeah. It was like, you know when eyes used to come with like, toosh, yeah! Like all the screaming and shit. Niggas was like taking our shirts off. And it was like, because you know, it's like, half of the class was boys, so it's like 15 boys on one team, 15 boys on another team, no like rotations.
Yeah.
So it was 15 on 15, full court, Shirts for Skins, tackle basketball. I swear to God, it was like the most chaotic thing I've ever been involved in. And we're like, and nobody's calling anything.
No.
So niggas are playing it like football. Nobody's really dribbling. Yeah. Niggas are just like running at the basket.
It's like roughhouse basketball, yo, but like on a mass scale.
It was utterly ridiculous. And I remember at one point, I got the ball and I was like, you know what? Because you're playing 15 on 15. Nobody's really like shining.
Yeah.
So I was like, nigga, I'm going to score at least once. Dog, I got the ball and I like ran at the basket. Two niggas hit me midair. Like knocked the wind out of me and slammed me on the fucking the hardwood floor. But I hit the like the little finger roll shit and scored one basket in that chaos. It was like Mad Max.
Yeah, exactly.
Completely out of pocket. The opposite of the experience that your kid is gonna have.
To a school that was so quiet. Like, really? It was eerily quiet. Like you were in an empty building.
Yeah.
But like when I came out, there were some kids like just sitting down, like reading books in the
hallway.
I was like, God, this is the strangest shit I've ever. I was like, no one's running down the hallway screaming.
Right.
Like there's no teacher yelling at a kid to go to the principal's office.
Sit down, you'll go to jail.
Yeah. Like,
none of that shit.
None of that, though.
Yo, what?
I did. Like I had to make sure like she was certain shit was cool. Like I told her, like we got into like the counselor's office and when he went out to go get like her roster printed up, I was like, yo, you got the razor blade in your jaw, right? And she was like, what are you talking? I was like, you might have to buck 50 somebody.
You might have to stab somebody.
Yeah,
in
you
here.
Knew. Like, oh, you know my what God. I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You're new.
New
here.
Kid? Nah.
I told her, go find the biggest kid at the lunchroom, cut him.
Mm-hmm.
And bang, like you be good. No one
stab him
you.
In his eyeball.
Yeah, I told him nobody cut him. I was like, yo, she was like, I don't have nothing in my mouth. And I was like, well, you got it in like your small pocket on your jeans.
You got it in like
the sole of your shoe.
The little part of your boot.
Yeah,
your Tim. You can slide a little razor in.
Yeah, I was like, you got it underneath the sole in your sneaker or something, right?
Jesus, I remember in I want to say this was fifth or sixth grade. This new girl came to school. She was like really tall. I remember her name was Jackie. She was really tall and she's very pretty. And the girls like decided they were going to fuck with her because she was new and tall and pretty. So this one girl, it was my man. Shout out to my man, Brandon. It was my man, Brandon's sister.
Mm-hmm.
And she was kind of always trying to curry the favor of like more popular girls, so she's decided she was gonna like fuck with this new joint.
Yeah,
like, yeah, bitch, blah blah blah, fuck out of here, blah blah blah. I beat you up, blah blah blah. Dog, when I say the new joint whooped her ass on her first day, it might have been first or second day.
It's not
she beat the bricks off of this joint. So you tall, you cute, and you can rumble.
He was good.
You can write your own ticket.
Yeah.
You can write your own ticket, dog. She beat the bricks out of this joint out on Ogun's Avenue. The whole school was out there. Me and my man was out there laughing at her. That was his sister. You know what I mean? Beat the bricks off of her, yo. So when you go to school and you're a little unsure of yourself, you know what I mean?
Just rumble somebody.
Yeah. I never was really a new kid anywhere.
I was at Northeast when I came to join y'all at Northeast.
Yeah.
I came in like the middle of the year.
Yeah, when I went to Greenfield in Center City, I was a new kid. And then when I went to Elwood, when I left Greenfield, I was new. But I wasn't really new because I went to my neighborhood school. So I knew a bunch of kids from around the way.
Yeah, when I went to Swenson, I was new too.
Yeah.
That's how I went there in a Dickies suit.
With blood on it.
Yeah. With straight backs. Like, I don't really fucking with me,
let these motherfuckers know.
It was like, this motherfucker just came over jail.
Yeah. I never had that experience of being like, not really. Because, like, Greenfield was like, nothing was going to happen there. You know what I mean? But from there on, I always had kids around me that I knew from, like, whatever school. Because even, like, going to Northeast, going to high school for the first time, a bunch of kids that I had known since, like, third grade went to high school with
me.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I was like, new motherfuckers.
Yeah, I knew a few kids when I got to Northeast. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, you know, Philadelphia public schools, like, you kind of, like, shift around, shit like that.
Yeah.
So you may bump into kids that you know. And when I went to Swenson, I knew a couple people.
Right.
What's his name was there? Justin Garant.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Justin.
You know what I mean? He had, like, most of the kids chumped in that school.
Justin is so nice, though.
Yeah, but he, like, I guess, like, you know, came into that school, didn't know. So, like, you know, he came in with the hard edge.
Yeah, and beat motherfuckers up, yeah.
And on top of the fact that, like, a lot of those kids was, you know, they, like, it's a vocational school. So, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you had to be halfway decent at school to get be able to, like, be allowed to go to that school.
And them kids had futures. It was looking like, you know what? I'm going to grow up. I'm going to be a motherfucking electrician.
Yeah.
I'm not out here trying to fight or compromise anything. So, you know, mentality.
But it's crazy. Like, Nala started school yesterday, and they said when she walked into her first class, the whole class was like, "Hi, Nala."
Oh, that's so sweet.
And like, so she's like, and I'm like, dog, like, and you walk into a new class in public school, they throw shit at you. Like a motherfucker. I mean?
Yo, that's like, so sweet. Oh, man.
Kids, like, it's a whole new life out there, dog.
Dog, I don't care what nobody says. Like, I feel like older people a lot of times, the world's always getting worse. I feel like that's like a human thing. People are like, man, back in my day it was better. I don't give a fuck, dog. Kids now are way better than we were.
Yeah, I think so.
As kids, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think a lot of they grow up more with like the anti-bullying stuff and shit like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, dog, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I made fun of kids and shit like that.
Horribly.
Yeah, like, I'm not proud of that shit. But like, yeah, we definitely made fun of kids for shit like that. Like,
to torture to kids.
Yeah, you come to school, your clothes wasn't right, or you know what I mean? Just for living, dog. Like, you know what I mean?
Dog, when we were kids, I remember motherfuckers used to get on the train and, like, I guess kids still do this. Like, it depends on the kids, but motherfuckers used to just sock motherfuckers or just roll on niggas for no reason. There was no rhyme or reason. You would, if you were on the train solo dolo and a bunch of kids came on, you would honestly get like a little feeling like, damn, are these niggas about to jump me for no reason? Yeah. Kids now, the kids that I've seen and interacted with, they're like, kids still fuck with each other because like that's what kids do. Kids now are so like supportive of each other, and like they don't like, like the kids that I taught this summer, it was none of that I saw. None of that, like, teasing kids for being gay and, like, shit like that.
Yeah, a lot of that
shit. It was just different.
Like, yeah.
And obviously that stuff still happens. I feel like it's less so.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The one out dude that we knew in high school was legit just called gay so-and-so.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because he was the only out dude that we knew. Yeah, no, now, I don't remember, like, specifically picking on Bull because he was gay. Never anything like that.
So, I ain't never pick on that nigga because I saw that nigga trash somebody.
I've heard that, you know, too. I heard he had hands.
Saw that nigga body somebody, like, early in the game. Yeah. So, no.
Yeah, on top of that, wasn't like, none of that. It was never a thing of being, like, it was more like you talk behind his back, some shit like that.
Right.
But it was never like outright bullying, like, yo, blah.
Yeah.
And we've only evolved since then. So, like, I think, like, kids knowing more gay kids, shit like that, like, you know what I mean? There isn't that kind of bullying and, like, making a kid feel like kids can much better have a chance of being out nowadays than they did even when we were kids.
Like, the kids, you know what I mean? Like a nerd or something, or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think that's not big no more. Like, oh, he's a nerd, he does his schoolwork.
Everybody a nerd now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For real.
That's not the big thing anymore. Like, I'm sure kids still get trashed for like having wax sneakers on.
Oh, yeah.
One of those probably ruined a lot of kids' lives.
For real. I wish we had that technology of being like, what are those when I was a kid? I wish we had it.
Yeah, so I don't think like you don't have that kind of shit.
No.
But yeah, I'm like hyped for them. Like, so, like especially for like India, because like she's in like a chance where she's like, they have like photography classes.
That's so dope.
Like just all these different things that she can do.
Some
like
creative
just
shit.
Watercolor class. Shit like that. It's like,
what?
Shit like that where it's like, yo, I didn't have any of this kind of, like her one class, so one elective that she has, they go to like the elementary school near them and they work with like the speech impaired kids.
Oh, wow.
Or like the physically disabled kids. Like they'll work and help them and shit like that. To like childhood development class or some shit like that. And I'm like,
it's fucked up.
None of that kind of shit.
At all. It's dope to hear this, but it also makes me sad that like they had to go out to the counties.
That's what I thought, to have access to this kind of stuff.
Like this shit should be across the board. Yeah, dog, it should be across the board.
Yo, if I had more options of classes when I was in school, like yo, if I had a photography class, I probably would have went to that class. Like that might have been fun,
right?
You know what I mean? Like my dog, the electives we had were like nothing.
Yeah,
like you know what I mean. We just had regular class. Now maybe I had like a lot of regular classes because I never went to class.
Yeah.
But I mean, yo, like we had like regular shit we had to take care of.
Yeah,
like we didn't get like a water aerobics. We got this week we're doing square dancing.
Like, yo,
you know what I mean? Like
they definitely made us do square dancing when I was a kid. It's fucking weird.
Yeah, like that, like dog. Already you're kind of awkward. You're like, you know what I mean. You're at the like awkward age of like 9th and 10th grade, yeah. And now you're like, all right, now I'm gonna make you dance a dance none of us do,
right?
Like, and you got to do it with another, you know, like the opposite sex.
Yeah, they partner you.
Yeah, like, and then you're like, oh, now I'm like dancing. Maybe I don't like this person. Maybe I do like this person. Now we're squared. Shit, I don't know what I'm doing.
I remember, I think this was 9th grade when they made us do it. But I remember I danced with a young lady named Susan Truesdale. And later, we became homies because she was into like certain kind of music that I didn't know about. And I liked certain kind of music that she knew about. So it wasn't, and she was cool. So it wasn't weird. You know what I mean? But yeah, that could be like a weird,
fucking
awkward ass thing.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You got like a square dance and
especially
shit.
When I was like younger in high school, like the, around like 11th and 12th grade, I started having more like, women friends.
Yeah, yeah.
But like at early in high school, I was like super awkward.
Yeah,
and like,
ninth you know grade what I mean? And
yeah,
shit.
Like you don't.
You're a baby.
Yeah. I so I wasn't like, oh, I had like, oh, I'm friends with that girl in the class. So we'll just dance and we'll, you know what I mean? Yeah. It won't be weird. But yeah, that shit's crazy, dog.
Yeah.
Like, and like, just say, like you said, that kind of makes me sad is that like they had to go out to the county to get that experience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm happy Nyla's going to get it, like, all the way.
Early
she's
in
only
the game.
In 4th grade.
Yeah.
So she'll get, like, the rest of her schooling is going to be, like, a good school. She's got 14 kids in her class.
What?
Like, my son, when I went to his back-to-school night, they were like, yeah, we're at max. We got 37 kids in the class.
37?
Like, dog, how does a kid learn?
I couldn't imagine that.
No.
We used to top out. I feel like in 8th grade... I had a pre-algebra class, and there were 35 kids in there.
Yeah, I remember being around like 32 to 35. Yeah,
that was utter chaos.
Now, in high
I didn't
school,
learn anything.
We would have 30-some kids in the class, but no one, people didn't show up. So you show up to class, there's 8 kids in there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I was one of those kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't come.
But yeah, I mean, 14 kids, dog. Like that's nothing.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's nothing. So
yeah.
Hey man, like I'm just glad like she's gonna like they got drama. They're doing the Clue as their play for the first semester.
Word.
They're doing Clue, and I was like, yo, I want her to sign up. I wish she could do it now so I could see Clue. And like she Clue. I love that movie when I was a kid.
I've never seen the Clue movie.
Really?
I was just watching a preview of like the reboot that they did.
Yeah, they're doing a reboot. Yeah,
yeah. And I was like, oh shit, I've never watched it because I think Lissa was like, oh yeah, I like the old
original
movie
with Tim Curry. Yeah,
never seen it.
Yeah, I love it. I remember just seeing it all the time when I was a kid. When like. You'd be home from school. It was one of those homeschool sick movies, and like I'd watch it. My mom also loved Tim Curry, so like any Tim Curry movie, I saw a lot of when I was a kid.
Because your mom's into Rocky Horror,
she loves Rocky Horror. So like I know, like I saw Rocky Horror really young because like my mom loves Tim Curry. So like I saw the original It movie when I was a little kid, shit like that, because she loved Tim Curry. But yeah, I mean like. I'm excited for like what they, you know, their opportunities and shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You
that's know? Dope. We need that shit across the fucking board.
Yeah.
In public schools in Philadelphia and around the country.
Did you do Meatless Monday yesterday?
I did, but okay, so there were circumstances. So my lunch, totally meatless.
Yeah.
I went and got veggie tacos from like the Mexican spot up the street and it was all good. That evening, my mom brought me a big thing of soup.
Okay.
And for some reason, I assumed it was veggie soup. And I was like, I had my mind.
Especially because she's veggie. So
my mom's a total vegetarian. She's been vegetarian for decades.
Yeah.
So I started like heating up this soup and I'm like scooping it out and I noticed there's like chicken chunks in it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck. And we're going to New Orleans this week. So I didn't want to spend any money.
Yeah.
I did eat soup with chicken.
Yeah.
So I did half of Meatless Monday. Half, yeah. When I come back. Because I ain't doing Meatless Monday in New Orleans.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't even eat beef or pork. You know what I mean? But, like, I'm not going to New Orleans and not eating fish or chicken.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Gumbo with shit like that.
Dog. Yeah. Motherfuckers been, like, inboxing me. Like,
spots to go to?
Spots to go to. Like, all right. It's like tiers. Like, all right. These are, like, the expensive nice joints.
Yeah, yeah.
These are, like, the greasy spoons that are cheap, but the food is real banging. So, yeah, I got, like, an itinerary.
Make sure you don't follow that grifter that like Lord Reef off the path when him and his lady went down there a couple years ago.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, he had him like in a back alley or some shit like that.
Yo.
It was like the bull from The Simpsons and shit, selling a monorail.
Right. There's an SNL skit that's just like that, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's, fuck, I can't think of who. I know Keenan's in it, Heidi Gardner, and some other dude who's a famous actor. I can't remember what his name is, but they have this skit where they come back from New Orleans and they're like, you know, oh, you know, you got to visit New Orleans. Like, it's like they're like real Joe, like touristy about it. And they got lured by a grifter in the, like an alley and they got robbed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they thought it was like a charming New Orleans ritual. You know what I mean?
How's what you got? I see you still wearing your karate gi. Got your belt on and everything like that.
I am definitely a kung fu master now. Nah, I've been going to Muay Thai around the corner for folks who may have missed the episode that I talked about doing that. But yeah, I went to class number 2.
Where
it was lit. You know what I mean?
How many little kids did you like beat up?
I beat up all the little kids in the karate class. It was crazy too because it's fucking weird. Life is weird. Luckily, I'm not an easily embarrassed person.
Yeah.
So you have the mat where everybody works out. That's the majority of the gym. So you're not supposed to walk with your shoes on the mat. Yeah. So I took my shoes off, but I'm standing in the shoe walkway. So this young lady who I met in the class before, she was like the only sister in the class. And she's like walking towards me. So she's like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, hey, what's going on? I remember you from the first class. And she's walking. I notice she's walking like really close to me. So I'm a hugger. So my instinct, I reached out to like go for a hug. And she like swerved the shit. But I noticed, I'm like, oh, idiot, you're standing
where they put shoes in.
Dog, it's like the space is like maybe a foot. You know what I mean? So she can't get past me without being that close. I was like, oh, my bad. You know what I mean? And like got out the way. I'm like, you fucking idiot. Like she met you in class one time.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why is she hugging you? But literally if the instructor would have come in and would have been like, hey bro, hugs, bro, I would have hugged that nigga.
Yeah.
I'm a hugger, you know what I mean? Like, so my thought is, like, you come close enough to my body, I think you want a hug.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So it's you and Joe Biden.
You can't put me in the same lane for your own well-being. You can't put me in the same lane as Joe Biden. I am not a Joe Biden-ass motherfucker. I hug.
So and you hug, you don't just sniff no hair.
I don't sniff people. Yeah. I don't do, like, a little finger pop, that fucking weirdo, whatever he does. No, but I do ask people, though.
Yeah.
I'd be like, hugs? And a motherfucker be like, oh, yeah, hug. Yeah. It hasn't.
Consent. Yeah.
100%.
You good, then.
Yeah, yo. So it was cool. It was like, I realized once you do like intense workouts, you realize like how out of shape you are.
Yeah.
But class number 2, I'll say this, the bounce back was stronger than class number 1.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Excuse me. But cause like after class number 1, I was like dead to the world, exhausted.
Did y'all do the what you call it yet?
What?
Did y'all wrap your hands and dip them in glass yet?
In the glass. break Van Damme's back. Nah, we didn't do what we did do.
Did they tie your legs yet? Like stretch your legs all the way out?
Do the split. No, we didn't do the Van Damme splits either. We
that's all I know about kickboxing. Yeah,
the first class it was conditioning.
Yeah.
So we did all conditioning shit, like just intense stuff, and punch the bags or everything. We didn't hit each other.
Yeah.
This class, which I didn't know, was like a mixed class. So we did a lot of the conditioning stuff, but they also paired us up to like hit each other. So like even before we got into that, it was like the two biggest niggas in the class were like sparring with each other. And dog, they was hitting each other. That shit sounded like thunder. It was like, pow, 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 pow. So I'm like, fuck, these niggas hitting hard as shit. So then when they pair me, because I'm like a big guy.
Yeah.
But I'm also a weakling because of what happened to me last year. So the instructor, he was like, all right, John, we're going to pair you with Eric and Rick or whatever these motherfuckers' name was. And it was like a white boy who was like mad tall and big, and then a brother who was even taller and bigger. I'm like, fuck, they paired me with like fucking
giants.
It's like Balrog and Ryu from fucking Street Fighter. So I look at the instructor because he knows like the whole thing I had with like spinal injury and all of that, and he's like, yeah, man, you know, you don't look like most of the class. Because a lot of classes like women and like really small people. But they vicious as shit, too. Yeah. But he's like, yeah, man, you don't really look like all the other people in the class. Like, I got to put you with the big guys, dog. I was like,
let me find out you're taking a woman's self-defense course.
I'm not taking a woman's self. It's mixed gender.
Like,
you in
there with the like Bobby Hill and shit. Like, don't touch my purse.
Kicking niggas in the balls. Nah, yo, they put me with these two huge ass motherfuckers, and they took it easy on me. They weren't like fucking me up, but yeah, it was, we were doing straight up like the, you know, jab jab cross jab cross teep, all that shit, and like kicking motherfuckers, and like they kicking me, I'm kicking them and shit. But yeah, it was an intense workout, but it wasn't, it didn't destroy me like it did the first time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So yeah, I'm sure like by class, you'll get stronger, stronger, stronger.
I know my body is going to be.
You'll start to work the muscles that you're supposed to be working, and you'll remember those muscles. Like, the muscle memory will build up. So, like, those muscles will know, like, oh, we're going to get worked. Like, you know what I mean? And so they'll be ready to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know the homie Note, shout out to the homie Note. I don't know if he's still taking classes now. He was taking a self-defense class. I don't remember. It might have been Jeet Kune Do or something like that. Mm-hmm. He said he was sparring with a woman. And like he was trying, like he's like, oh, I was trying to be like, I didn't want to go too hard because like she's a woman, but like at the same time, like I don't want to go too soft either. And he said the one point, like he was kind of distracted and he threw a punch and like punched her right in her boob.
Oh shit.
And like he said he started having a panic. He was like, oh my god, that's how women get breast cancer, blah, blah, blah.
What?
Also, remember this, like, shout out to the homie Noah, but this is the same dude who, like, if you were talking with him and, like, a piece of spittle would come out of your mouth and land on, like, his arm, he'd be like, oh my god, that's it. So, like,
what?
No. Notice, you know what I mean? He's a wild dude.
Is Noah, like, a germaphobe?
I think so, yeah.
Yo, shout out Noah.
Yeah.
But goddamn, that's not how women get breast cancer.
Not. Not at all.
Did I ever tell you the story? I don't know if I ever told this on a podcast. I don't know if I even personally told you this story. I used to work at Pizza Hut the summer I got out of high school.
I remember.
And we used to have like this ice maker machine that was kind of, it was taller than like waist level.
Yeah.
So I remember one night I was in the back and we're like hustling, trying to like, you know, get orders out and do different things. And it was this older lady. She was like super sweet, short, older lady. Her titties was longer than the 405. She was bending over in the ice machine. just as I happened to be slamming it down closed to go run and do something else. Yeah. Dog, I swear to God, I slammed this lady's titties in the ice machine. And I'm like 18. I'm already, I didn't grow into my confident self as a human being. I freaked the fuck out, dog. I don't think I've ever apologized
to that lady
as intensely as I did that night. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like I've fucked up in life. I've hurt people close to me. And I've apologized for it sincerely. I apologize like a psychopath.
Profusely for that.
I slammed both of her long ass titties in the fucking ice machine.
Shipping jaws that come to like they stop at her stomach.
Yeah, man. No, she had long ass titties, dog. I wasn't worried about like, oh, she gonna like call her grandson or her nephew. I beat the fuck out of her nephew. You know what I mean? Whoever the nigga was. I wasn't worried about that shit. I was just worried that I like harmed this older woman. You know what I mean? So I don't know where we it's improv-ing right now.
I guess we start getting into what's going on in the news.
Let's do it. So you saw this shit.
Yes.
Tyler Perry opened the largest movie studio in the country.
Yes.
In Atlanta. Yeah. On like an old Confederate
army base or something like that.
Insane. Yeah. Insane. They said you could take all of the major studios and put them inside of Tyler Perry's studio.
We still have like 60 acres to spare.
Left over. Crazy. Yeah. Crazy. And Tyler Perry was homeless.
Yeah, exactly.
Years ago.
Yeah.
He was fucking homeless. And he... You know, we're not usually super impressed by like wealth in and of itself. I'm impressed by like the scope of this project that he's executing.
Yeah, and like the goal of what he wants to do with it. And like, a lot of places are going to have to come and use his studio. Like these major other studios are going to have to come and pay him to use his studios.
They filmed part of Black Panther, like the Wakanda shit. So, that's in Tyler Perry's studio.
If Avengers Endgames, all that kind of stuff. Those movies, they shoot a lot of stuff in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Walking Dead is done in Atlanta. So like a lot of those places are going to have to like, they're going to have to come and use his studios for like any kind of studio work in studio.
It's smart because if you think about it I know they factored this in when thinking about this and building the studio. So say like the MCU, we're going into like the next phase. It's like the cosmic MCU. Yeah, yeah. They're going to have to create a lot of that stuff is like the CGI
stage,
stuff.
Yeah, it's stage shit.
But they're going to have to scale up films.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When we were kids, films used to happen in like 4 or 5 rooms. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? They're going to have to like scale up to tell these like bigger cosmic stories.
Absolutely.
Dog, where else they going to go?
Yeah.
Where else they going to go?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's
going to have to go to Tyler Perry.
And like, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of like, more independent and like original storytelling from like black folks and other people of color like that are going to get greenlit through his studio.
That's what I want to see.
Yeah, that wouldn't get greenlit somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, you know, he squashed his beef with Spike Lee.
Fucking beautiful. I love seeing that.
Yeah, exactly. Plus y'all too old. Like, you know what I mean? Too old be beefing over dumb shit, man.
Spike, you know, I don't know how many years Spike got left or whatever. I would never try to like speculate on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Give Spike his flowers now. Exactly. Squash beefs now. You know what I mean? And y'all, what was y'all beefing over? Because Spike is like a crotchety old man.
Yeah, and he's on tour like, and shit like
and
that.
And he don't like Madea.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, he's what like he's a film auteur and he believes films should be done a certain way and shit like that. Like, listen, man, neither one of us are like big Tyler Perry fans. Like, I'm not like every, like, oh shit, I can't wait for the new Madea to come out. Right. Like,
I'd be on that. Like, I don't think I'm like liking his shit ironically or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, I watched Madea and shit like that. You know what
I haven't seen one in a long time. I remember like going over to my people's cribs and they would like, you know, they'd be watching a play. So this is what I remember going and seeing the plays before there were movies.
Yep.
Going over to like people's cribs for like Thanksgiving or like Christmas or whatever.
Low key. So I don't mean to cut you off. Low key. Like when I first saw them plays, I was like, yo, it's like comedy, they got like, you know, a spiritual message, and they're singing. That's the greatest thing ever. You know what I mean? Some of his films, then I was like, oh, some of this shit don't align with like my politics or whatever. But like, nah, I'm glad this motherfucker is in the world doing what he doing. You know what I mean? Employ some black folks.
Exactly. Like I'm, listen, man, like I don't gotta love everything he puts out to respect what he's doing.
Yeah. Hollywood barely hiring black folks.
Exactly.
Or they
hire the same five people. Like, you know what I mean?
On. You know what I mean? Hire some of the peoples. Let motherfuckers work.
Yeah.
You know?
So no, I'm really looking forward to what he's able to do with it. And I'm excited for him. I think this could be big for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Especially a lot of like independent artists, stuff like that, who wanna like get their own ideas and visions out.
Yeah.
He's one of like the richest dudes around, and does it like his movies don't have to make, you know, they don't got to make Avengers money for that studio to be profitable, because they don't take Avengers money to shoot. Like he's not doing a, you know, a $600 million movie that needs to make $1 billion.
He's like, doing that shit in-house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I imagine what like someone like Oscar Michaud, you know what I mean? It was like probably the first black film director, you know what I mean, period, and who did a lot of his stuff independently, did it off the muscle, employed black people doing it. I wonder what Oscar Michaud in like the early days of film, if he could see what Tyler Perry is doing, or what Spike did, or Julie Dash, or any of these like brilliant black filmmakers, Ava DuVernay.
Yeah.
I wonder if he could see that, how he would feel about that. You know what I mean? Because like this is impressive shit.
Oh yeah.
They said they got a whole like a mock prison, hotels, whole like apartment complexes inside of this studio.
Yeah.
So they could just film shit.
Yeah.
Just film whatever they want to film.
Absolutely. And you dress it however you need to dress it.
It's fucking crazy. Like
yeah, you know I'm super excited. In the sense that, like, yo, man, like, I'm sure he's going to employ a lot of black folks just in, like, because not only do a lot of black folks and other people of color not get, like, roles on movies and stuff like that, they don't get the other positions in movies.
Yeah.
They don't get, like, the grip, and they don't get, like, those people don't get those opportunities. They don't get a chance to be, like, special effects artists, stuff like that. Like, they, you know, Hollywood is liberal as they pretend to be. It's an old boys network, and old boys are always all white. Like, you know what I mean? So like they don't, you know, you don't get a chance if you're a Mexican special effects artist to get to work on some of the same things that like some white dude gets to work on. Like, you know what I mean? And that's just, or, like computer special effects folks, that's people of color and shit like that. This opens up a lane too for like people to see, like, oh, that's opportunity that wasn't there before, so people might not have ever went into it.
Right.
Like, oh, why would I ever do that? Like, I'm never gonna, like, when I see behind the scenes at Disney's like computer graphics shit, it's all white folks. So why would I ever try to get into that? Because that's not an opportunity. There's no opportunity for me.
Yeah. Why even try to learn the craft?
Yeah, like there's an opportunity. Like what, that was a thing too. Like my daughter, when I'm looking at it, like they have like filmmaking classes, shit like that. Like, and it's like, well, why don't you try taking that? Like maybe you'll take these opportunities. Like a big thing of preaching of like, yo, take all the different opportunities, because maybe you'll catch one that you really like.
Yeah.
And then you can follow up with more shit on it.
It'll light the fire in you, and you can do it.
And now because of this studio, like you have the opportunity for like black folks and other people of color. Like, cause at the same time, there was like the biggest Latin American studio open too.
I saw that.
So like,
which is crazy.
Yeah, it's like
crazy.
Those opportunities are going to be there for not just like movie roles. You don't got to just be an actor.
Yeah.
Like there's, I talk about this with like the kids that I coach in football. Like if you like the sport, listen, the fraction of a percentage that you're going to end up in the NFL.
Yeah.
But there's a million jobs within the sport. So find a job within the sport that you really like that you can do when your football career is over, whether that's high school, college, or even in the NFL. There's other jobs within it.
Yeah, you're around the sport that you love.
Yeah, like you get to actually, you know, you get to participate in the sport that you love in some other way.
Yeah.
Like you could be a special effects artist. You could be with the movie shit, you could be a special effects artist, be a guy who does it on the computer, be a grip, be a guy who's a writer, be like there's other
makeup,
jobs.
All that stuff.
There's a million jobs within that stuff. So you don't have to be like, maybe you don't want to be an actor, but you want to be in movies.
Right.
Like, you could be a sound engineer. You could be the guy who holds the mic. You could be, like, there's a million jobs as directors.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And we're getting to see more directors of color, more women directors. Like, that stuff's important now. You know what I mean? Like, I just think that this opens up even more opportunity. Right. You know what
you
I
get
mean?
Kids need to see, you know, I'm not a, you know, representation person per se. You know what I mean? In the sense that it doesn't end at representation.
No.
But people need to see this kind of shit. You know what I'm saying? I write for a living. I write about music. If I didn't read, you know, Greg Tate, Dream Hampton, Amiri Baraka, all of these folks, I would have thought the only people who could make money and, you know, a career out of writing about music was just like old white dudes.
Yeah.
Chris Gow, you know, Lester Bangs, shit like that. But being able to open like the Source magazine and see black ass Bones Malone brilliantly write about this culture that we loved, I was like, oh, I could do that. You know what I mean? And
it's important with having Tyler Perry because you have a person of color in a position of power.
Right. It's not just a seat at the table. This motherfucker built his own.
Exactly. And like, that's a big thing where, like you say, like representation matters, but it's not the end of it.
Hell
you
nah.
need place. You need people in positions of power.
It's interesting that you say that, because I wonder, just out of like curiosity and interest, how much this shifts power in Hollywood. Like, I know it's not something that will completely upend what you were talking about, like the white all boys network in Hollywood. But I just wonder how much power this delivers away or takes away from Hollywood towards a city like Atlanta.
Sure there's going to be a lot. I also know Alan Payne will be able to work for the rest of his life.
G Money is you read my mind too, dog. Because I had the same thought. That's crazy.
He had like three of his like shows. Like, listen, you know what I mean?
G Money is gonna work forever.
They finna
reboot Jesus Lyric.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah, G Money is gonna work for the rest of his life.
G Money, Morris Chestnut.
Yep,
all of them.
Yeah.
Jill Scott finna come back and do Why Did I Get Married Part 3. Come
Absolutely,
on.
Yeah.
Shout out to Tyler Perry.
What's my man's name who be wearing the suspenders? He's in all the Madea movies.
Mr. Brown.
Yeah, Mr. Brown.
I don't know that brother real day. Dog, when I was in the hospital, we watched so much fucking Tyler Perry. I think because like so much... one, it was on all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. They're on like 17 or some shit. One of those stations. Like
every fucking thing. Yeah. And like BET and the other network.
Yep.
But I wanted like a lot of like familiar shit or like shit that was like simply, you know, like I don't want to say simple. Like it had like a formula to it and shit. Though I watched so much like
routine.
Yeah. I watched so much fucking Tyler Perry shit when I was in the hospital, dog.
Writing a lot of stuff now and stuff like that. You start to notice like there is like you watch a TV show, especially like standard television, like 22 minute episode.
Yeah.
Especially like a non overarching show, like just like straight like a single episode thing.
Yeah.
There's from Mary Tyler Moore, Dick Van Dyke to like those shows now. Oh, they all follow the same pattern. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Definitely
like,
a structure. Yeah.
And like especially when your brain is like trying to recover, it's really important to like follow that, like to have a structure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because then you can, here's the thing, you can follow that.
Yeah.
If you're watching like, you know, one episode of a serialized TV show and you're missing the beginning and the end of the story and you're only getting the middle of it, when your brain's trying to like rebuild, that's repeating what's already going on in your head where you're like, oh, I'm missing shit. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm watching something where I'm missing the beginning and end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No, those kind of shows are good because they're routine, they're structured, And like, so you go, oh, this is the beginning of this show. There's, you know, you set up the problem. You know, you increase the problem, then you solve the problem. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean?
Maybe you got like a little B story.
Yeah, yeah.
Following the same.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Structure. Yeah.
Absolutely. You need that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Shout out to Tyler Perry for building the largest studio in the world, and also for healing my brain while I was in the hospital last year.
Absolutely.
We appreciate you.
Also on like the Hollywood front and like legend status.
Yeah, yeah.
The King, Eddie Murphy.
My guy.
He came out, and I don't want to say he apologized, but he said like, you know, his comedy from the 80s was super cringeworthy.
Yeah. He said, yo, I made offensive jokes.
Yeah.
40 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And I don't
agree with the shit I said 40 years ago.
Exactly. And it's smart in the sense that like he's got the Dolomite movie getting ready to come out. It's actually in some select theaters now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It drops on Netflix like later this month.
Yeah, I think the 17th.
Yeah, I think it's next week.
I cannot wait.
Yeah, me too. I really
know
can.
That shit is good.
Cuz we get the Breaking Bad movie this week.
Really? Is that this week?
I think so. Yeah, I think
is it on Netflix?
Oh yeah, on Netflix.
Oh wow, yeah.
Which I can't wait for. But he has that coming out, plus he's getting ready to do new comedy tour and shit like that. So he's like trying to get ahead of the story before like, oh, Eddie Murphy does something, then there's 50 think pieces about how what you call it is a terrible movie. Yeah,
Raw was homophobic. Yeah,
Raw and delirious. And delirious where, yeah. Oh, he's a homophobe, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
So he gets out ahead of it. But what is important to think about in this type of thing, because the Joker movie came out last week and Todd Phillips came out and said, oh, this is a direct attack against the PC culture and that kind of shit. And it's like,
and Mark Maron like disagreed with
Mark
Maron's in the fucking film.
He said there's plenty of funny shit out there where you don't have to be like you can ride a line, but the whole idea of punching down is against comedy,
right? Since everybody's fighting for the sanctity of comedy,
yeah,
as an art form.
And there's two, like, because like here, their big thing now is like, well, nothing can be funny. Listen, The Good Place is the best show, one of the best shows on TV.
Good Place is so funny,
and it's the least offensive show on television. Yeah. Like, there's nothing on there where it's like, oh, let's attack gay people or let's do this. Like, you know what I mean?
I think a lot of this, because a lot of folks what I saw mainly on Twitter. Folks were like, you know, oh, why is Eddie Murphy coming
bowing
out?
Bowing down, yeah.
Yeah, why is he apologizing? Why is he bowing down to the PC culture? It's like, one, you know, he's a human being and he's allowed to be like, yo, you know, the shit I said back in the day, I'm not with that no more.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Here's the big thing. I remember seeing, I didn't mean to cut you off. Mm. It's a big thing. I remember seeing one post that was like, Dave Chappelle didn't change, you did. And it's like, well, it's 20-some years later. I would think Dave Chappelle should have changed.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not the same person I was 20 years ago, and if you are, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Like, you should evolve as a human being.
Right.
I remember, like, when we were kids, the big pushback on PC culture was, oh, now I got to call them African-Americans. I can't call them black.
Like a motherfucker.
Like, that was a big thing. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Or, I can't say the N-word now. Oh, this is crazy. Yeah. Like,
you know how many white comedians in the 80s were like, oh, I can't call these niggas, or you're not Negroes anymore.
I can't get up here and make a black joke.
Right. So I said to somebody on Facebook, I don't know why.
Why you arguing with me?
Why I even got into it with this motherfucker.
I made the same mistake the other day, dog. Don't feel me. Sometimes you just see something and you're like,
I can't let it ride. Yeah. I can't let it ride. Folks who are kind of wringing their hands about not being able to make gay jokes anymore, not being able to make trans jokes anymore. One, you can do it. Nobody's locking you up for doing that shit. Yeah. People are just saying like, oh, I won't watch your special. So there's this like entitlement that I see with comedians and the fans of comedians. They feel entitled to be able to say some fucked up shit against a group. And these people can't react against it negatively. Mm-hmm. But what I said to this person, I was like, yo, you're talking about how now all of a sudden, you know, nobody wants to hear gay jokes or whatever. I'm sure that there were people when we moved out of like the vaudeville era who were like, oh, wait, I can't do blackface anymore. Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Dog, there's still people doing it. So I'm sure there were people going like, that argument is still being made today. Where, yeah. Well, I was going as Eddie Murphy, so I had to put blackface on.
Right. It's nonsense. Nobody's entitled. We talked about this before, like a few episodes ago, but like, you're not entitled for people to fuck with you.
No, not at all.
None of these fucking comedians.
We're not entitled to believe you're funny or believe your joke is funny.
Right. Cause like, if I swear to God, dog, years ago, I remember we might've played a show. It might've been like a sensory horror show that we played, but I remember it was this guy who's like a white drag queen who used to do like host events and shit, and he said some like slick shit about black people at the event, like while he was doing his whole shtick, and I was like, boo, that shit not funny, fuck out of here. You know what I mean? Who are you to tell me that like I show up somewhere and you attack, you know, my group, my fam, I'm trans, and you say some ill shit about trans people and I gotta suck it up just cause the sanctity of comedy?
Yeah,
fuck you. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's bullshit.
And here's the thing: the same people who will tell you all this PC culture is gone mad, blah blah blah, they'll tell you, oh, we live in a society where everybody gets a trophy. Well, you won a trophy just because you told a joke,
right?
The joke wasn't funny,
dog. Yeah,
like, man, you're not entitled to a laugh just because you said a joke.
Yeah.
The joke's no good. You're gonna get told it's no good.
Dave Chappelle making rape jokes, and if I'm like somebody who was raped and I'm sitting in the audience, I gotta suck that up and laugh just so this rich ass nigga cannot have pushback.
And here's the
thing. That's nonsense. That's utter nonsense.
The whole, oh, well, these people are gonna get canceled, this, that, and third, that shit doesn't exist. Dave Chappelle made $60 million for these specials.
Nobody's canceling
anybody.
No one's
taking that money from him.
No.
He's only more popular. He's going on tour now.
Yeah, nobody's canceling any of these people.
Louis C.K., who openly sexually harassed women.
Yeah.
Who's a sex pest.
Yeah.
Is still going and doing shows.
Caking. Like, nobody's canceling these people.
No.
And if you think about it, the loud minority who are pushing back against, you know, these folks, these comedians who are making like racist jokes, transphobic jokes, homophobic jokes, their power is nothing compared to the power of actual racism,
yeah,
actual transphobia, actual homophobia. You know what I mean? So there's like this narrative that comedians mainly and the people around them who want to hear this kind of stuff, they've like created this narrative where there's like this powerful force that's taken away their freedom of speech. But the power of, you know, the few people on Twitter who are like, yo, I don't like Dave Chappelle, is nothing compared to the actual power that Dave Chappelle holds up by being homophobic and transphobic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Y'all are literally aligning yourselves with systemic power. I'm not saying that Dave Chappelle himself, by telling a joke, is the systemic power, but it's aligned with the systemic powers of transphobia and homophobia specifically. These white comedians who, like homeboy who got fired from SNL.
Yeah, yeah.
These white comedians who say racist shit, they're not going against the grain. They're supporting the fucking grain.
Yeah, and the whole thing is, what was edgy about saying a racial slur? Like, what's edgy about that?
Right.
That shit hasn't been edgy in forever. Like, right. Dude, they were using that racial slur in the 1800s. Why is that edgy in 2018?
Exactly.
There's nothing edgy about that.
Idiotic.
Yeah, so I like that idea of like, oh, this is super edgy because I'm using racial slurs. Like, I think Eddie realizes, like, oh, I'm not going to go back into comedy. I also think, like, as a human being, he's growing, all that kind of shit, like,
right,
that. But, like, what was edgy in the 80s should not be edgy in 2019.
It's not, yeah. It's,
you know what I mean? Like, not. So you're talking like 30 years, almost 40 years later.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he realizes, hey, I can't, you know, homophobia or like shit like that, like, that's not gonna, like AIDS scare. Like he talks about that, like having like, excuse me, dog. It's the 80s. People didn't understand AIDS at all.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? The whole whole world didn't understand how AIDS even worked.
Right.
So like that kind of edgy stuff. But yo, honestly, what's crazy is that's the edgy shit, quote unquote, wasn't the shit that I remember from Eddie stand up.
Right.
I remember the McDonald's home hamburger thing. Yeah. Like, I got McDonald's. Right. Like, I remember that. I remember the shit with his aunt. Was the big hairy aunt and shit like that.
Oh, shit, yeah.
I remember that. Yeah. I remember, what's his name, down, like, your girl go down to Jamaica, and you like, oh, I could cheat on my girl all I want.
Yeah.
And he go down there and pull big dick swinging ball through his dick over his shoulder. Yeah. Those, that's the shit I remember more than anything else.
Right.
I don't really remember, like, the, oh, like, some gay shit that, you know, some shit that he was doing like that was so super anti-homophobic or whatever.
There was one joke he said he went to San Francisco and the cop cars didn't have alarms.
They just had a gay dude on top. I remember that one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You telling me like in 2018 we can't live without that joke?
Yeah, exactly.
That joke's so essential to Eddie Murphy's legacy. Like, come on.
And like, listen, man, I appreciate it as a human being. Like, he's grown and he's experienced life.
Yeah.
Eddie is like my favorite dude. Like I remember seeing my mom putting me down. I wrote that in a post the other day, like him and Carlin. Mm-hmm. And Carlin was super like, yeah, there's a reason the comedy is made to punch up. You're supposed to attack the aristocrats, not, you know, poor people.
Like, that's people
not
how, already fucking struggling.
Yeah, that's not how that's not how you attack people, right?
And even when it's done, I don't mean to cut you off, but even when it's done making fun of poor people, like I always thought that dude, Larry the Cable Guy, was funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it didn't seem like he was, it seemed like he was like talking about his tribe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Steve Harvey does a bit about going to his family member's wedding. And Steve Harvey's not that funny to me.
No.
But he has a bit where he goes to his family member's wedding. His
hairline's funny.
Right. And his mustache. All of his outfits. but it's like a ghetto-ass wedding.
Yeah.
But he's talking about his tribe.
Exactly.
So he's not punching down at poor people, even though he's not poor anymore, that Larry the Cable Guy is not poor anymore. They talking about their
stadium
folks.
Stall. That dude is the furthest thing from poor.
Come on. You know what I mean? But I always thought that shit was funny because it's like, oh, he's talking about his folks. He's not some rich, straight guy talking shit about like some trans woman.
And there's I always go back to this Bill Burr joke that is the perfect example of like he uses the F word,
mm-hmm.
but the whole point of the joke is attacking his and like his fellow's toxic masculinity.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, I was, you know, you die of a heart attack at 40 years old because you were always scared to tell somebody a puppy was cute.
I remember that, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Say that. Like, and it's always because you were afraid that you were going to be called the F word. You like, so you're like build up all this like anxiety inside you and fear that like, so you end up dropping dead of a heart attack because like you're afraid of that. And it's attacking the masculinity, the toxic masculinity.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like, that's the way you use that kind of joke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe you don't use the F word, but you use it specifically in that case because you're using it because it's a way to attack somebody.
Yeah.
And like, at the end of the day, the person you're attacking is yourself or other people who are actually super toxic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the way you attack those kind of, like, and you can make it fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think the core of a lot of this whole debate around comedy, I think that people are more vigilant about art and music that props up real systemic evils. So I think that's where you get, you know, a lot of the pushback against, you know, like say homophobic jokes or racist jokes or whatever. So I think people are more cognizant about that kind of stuff and vigilant. But I think also you have on the other side people who don't want to change, people who, you know, don't feel as compassionate. Not painting people as monsters because, you know, they like, you know, Dave Chappelle or whoever, whatever comedian that they like. But
Dave Chappelle was still a fucking hilarious human being.
Dave Chappelle, funny as shit. I just can't rock with a lot of shitty shit.
Yeah, like that, I mean? That. Listen, man, I'm not trying to take the, like, hey, listen, same thing with the Tyler Perry. Like, I don't love everything that Tyler Perry does.
Right.
But I can respect the fact of what he is doing. I understand Tyler. I mean, Dave Chappelle is fucking hilarious. He's a genius. I think him doing these kind of jokes affects his genius in the fact that going like, you're too smart for that.
Yeah.
You're too much, you're too good of a comedian to take these cheap jokes.
I think that particularly with Chappelle, I think he's indignant about being told what he can and can't say.
Absolutely.
Because I think that comedians live in this kind of like insular culture where they believe that anything they say that can make anybody laugh at any point is okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I understand this because me, regular John, I feel like if you know, say with music, like if somebody violates a copyright, then they should be sued or they should pay. But sample Crate Digger John, this weird insular culture that I live in, it's like, fuck that. I'm not paying for no samples.
Yeah.
And nobody else should either. But I understand that the rest of the world doesn't look at the things that I look at in my chosen craft the same way.
Absolutely.
I think the comedians struggle with that. And I think that there's a little bit of like a martyr complex going on where they're like, you're robbing us of our free speech. Nobody's throwing any comedians in jail.
Absolutely, no.
None of that shit's happening. You know what I mean? People are saying, I don't think that's funny. Which comedians, it's funny to me that they're, comedians have been having this kind of reaction to this like PC culture. Because according to y'all, if the joke bombs, then it bombs.
Yeah.
But y'all are like forcing motherfuckers that you have to like this joke that I'm cracking, even though it's at your expense.
Patrice O'Neal, there's two examples I want to give you. Patrice O'Neal, when he argued for where those dudes he used to do that show with all the time.
Opie and Anthony. Opie and Anthony. Yeah, yeah.
And they were talking about like, oh, well, is their show too, blah, blah. There was a joke about, or they were talking about Daniel Tosh and Daniel Tosh made a rape joke or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, he was like, I didn't listen to the joke. I don't know if the joke was funny or not. He was like, you can make a joke about anything.
Yeah.
He was like, is it funny?
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. If people laugh, fine. People don't laugh, hey, it wasn't funny.
You got to rock with it. Yeah.
And one thing I will say is a lot of comedians go like, well, like people are recording our sets at like the Comedy Cellar when we're working out and we're working on a joke. Mm-hmm. And like those jokes are being analyzed. And it's like, well, I get that because you don't know where the joke is yet. You're trying to find where a joke is. Still, you don't need to throw out like the C word or the F word. Like that kind of shit you can avoid, or making fun of a trans person is something you can avoid. But I do get the aspect of being like, well, you know, I may say something in that stand up because I don't know where this joke is yet or how this joke lands or what's funny. But there's another example that was perfect. Was the show? What's the name of that show, brother? You watch it. Well, my man who was married to like the super, he's a super Christian boy, was married to the super Christian chick. She cheated on him. It's on HBO. What the hell is the name of it? It's a big tall comedian boy. The fuck is his name?
What fuck show is that? He said I'll watch it.
Yeah, you watched it. And like he's basically like sleeping on Artie Lang's couch, and he.
Oh yeah.
What the hell is the name of that show?
Isn't it comic or comedian or something?
No, like it's something, but it's something similar. It's like something like that.
Yeah, I remember what show you're talking about now.
But last season, he goes on, does like a little mini tour.
Yeah.
With him, this woman that was his ex that they was dating, like that comedian that he was dating and shit, and. The bull who works the door at that one comedy club, and he's still doing like that 80s early 90s like so he does that kind of comedy, and he gets on stage and he's like, what is this whole like consent thing, like, you know, so I gotta like, yo, can I touch your boob, can I put my hand around your head, I don't even understand this consent thing, and blah 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 blah, and like the woman who's like doing the host of the show, she comes out after him and goes, like, it's pretty fucking simple. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, we make an agreement that, you know, that I want to have sex with you instead of, like, you just jumping and putting your tongue down my throat.
Right.
Like, the consent thing is pretty fucking simple. Yeah. Like, and, like, she breaks down his whole act and, like, destroys it.
Oh, shit.
And, like, he's like, so the next day, like, he can't come out and do, he's like, well, what am I supposed to do if I don't have my act because you destroyed it, blah, blah, blah. And, like, she's like, well, just get better. Like, become a better comedian.
Be funnier, stop
relying on these stupid jokes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I didn't even know that show still came on.
It's so great, man. That last season was excellent.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, and I really enjoyed that first season.
Yeah, it's...
We gotta find the fucking name of that shit.
Yeah, I can't think of the fucking name of that show, man.
Word.
It's Pete Holmes is a star of it.
Yeah.
Crashing. Crashing is the name of the show.
Yeah.
Like, you're crashing on someone's sofa.
Right.
But that show, like, that scene in that last season was really good, of like just breaking down that idea of like, oh, this is funny, attacking the anti-PC shit. It's like, nah, it's not funny.
Yeah.
Like, we've all moved past that, though. Yeah. Like, that piece, though, honestly, I thought we moved past that whole, like, oh, this PC culture. I thought we did that shit in, like, the 90s, dog. No, like,
motherfuckers, you know what I mean? That was motherfuckers' whole shtick.
Exactly.
In the 90s.
Yeah.
The whole shtick.
Yeah, so I thought we'd move past that. Like, yeah. I thought that was a thing we were done with, and apparently we're not.
Shout out to Eddie Murphy, you know what I mean? I can't wait to see this Dolemite shit. I'm so excited.
Me too.
I fuck with Wesley Snipes on principle.
Yeah.
But, like, they got Wesley Snipes playing Derville Martin. Like, I know this shit is going to be crazy.
Yeah.
I
mean, I fuck with Wesley just on the strength that he was buying guns for the New Albions. You know what I mean?
He's going to spark that revolution. Listen. They said he was in the Bing, like, teaching inmates yoga and shit.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. I remember reading that about Wesley. They said he was having, like, yoga classes in the Bing.
Listen, man.
It's an American hero, dog.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's Nino Brown, dog. Like, tied into last week's episode.
Listen, he let y'all know is no Uzis made in Harlem.
Yep.
Who was teaching y'all that before then? Y'all niggas ain't know where the guns and dope was coming from.
Oh, man. Got educated.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Eddie, man. Like I said, I love Eddie, dog. Like,
yeah.
Beverly Hills Cop is my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah, let's fucking go. I'm ready for an Eddie Murphy comeback. He got to stop doing bullshit movies, though.
Supposedly, he was super good in Dreamgirls.
He what? You never seen Dreamgirls?
No, I don't like musicals, dog.
He was really good in that.
Only movie
I'm not super fond
of. Watch or Willy Wonka. It's the only music I watch.
I can't fuck with Willy Wonka.
I love Willy Wonka.
It's weird to me.
My mom loves that movie. I think, again, my mom like beat that into me as a kid. Damn. And now I love it. But no, I never saw Dreamgirls, but I heard he was excellent.
He was really good in Dreamgirls.
Yeah, I heard he was excellent.
Dreamgirls in general was good.
Yeah.
It was one of those movies that where I was like, I don't really want to watch this. And I was like hanging with my homie. And, like, she threw it on.
Yeah.
And I fucked with it.
How was Beyonce's acting? Because, like, her acting is...
I mean, you know, she's... You can't be a genius in everything.
Yeah. Oh, no.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, she was serviceable.
Yeah.
You know, Jennifer Hudson did a thing. Anika Noni Rose is in it.
Yeah.
Who I love. But, yeah, it was really enjoyable.
Really?
It's, like, nicely paced.
Mm-hmm.
The music is dope. So, yeah.
I think that's a large part of it too. Is like a lot of musicals, I don't want to listen to the music,
right?
You know what I mean. So
I like West Side Story.
I never saw West Side Story.
West Side Story is cool.
Never saw West Side Story. It's like a whole movie based around like an interracial relationship, isn't it?
Kinda, yeah. But it's like, but it's also a gang war. Yeah, thing.
The Jets and the Snakes or something like that. It was something
the
like
Jets
that.
And the Sharks. Is it the Shark? I said that shit with confidence, yeah, exactly. But I'm not really sure. So
you're a Jet. You're a Jet for life. Dog, I can't take serious a gang member walking down the street doing it. Could you imagine like Colors and the dudes walking around? When you're a Crip, you're a Crip for life.
Like, dog, them niggas was doing like pirouettes and like stabbing each other and shit.
Yeah, I can't.
Dog.
Like, we're gonna do a drive-by. We're gonna do a drive-by. Like,
smoking all the wet.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
checking all the cars.
I can't get into that shit, though.
Yo,
I have a hard time doing that, like, transition.
Right.
Of, like, what's, like, singing, why we're singing at this part and we're not singing at this part. I have that kind of, like, my brain doesn't function well.
Colors the Musical?
Colors the Musical, dog. I think it'll we could do it.
It'd be better than Hamilton.
Yes, it would.
Listen, we just this is just going to become like serious, like pitch shit.
Yeah,
podcast. Serious pitch shit podcast. Just pitching shit. God damn. Do you want to wrap up?
Yeah, we can start getting into the next phase of the podcast.
Why you say it like that?
I don't know. I'm trying to work on our transitions for, you know, possible like advertisement shit we could be throwing in right there.
Oh man, yeah, y'all get ready because y'all gonna be listening to this podcast and we gonna be talking shit and then we gonna be like, you know, if you need more than regular size condoms, fuck with Trojan Magnums. Yeah. We's gonna be throwing out the ads very soon.
Exactly. So like, yo, my back's bothering me, man, but. I think I just need to get me a new Casper. Yeah. no, but yo, did you listen to anything new this week?
I did.
Shit, John did homework for the episode.
Listen, this is every once in a blue moon. I've talked about these cats on the podcast. We've discussed their music before.
Yes.
Mutant Academy, my favorite. I would say maybe over Griselda, my favorite crew right now, as far as like this rap shit. Fly Anakin and
Big Kahuna OG
put out their album Hollywater. Mm-hmm. This shit is hard, dog.
Yeah, it goes hard.
That shit is hard.
It's real good.
These niggas is going back and forth like Styles and Kiss in 02. And like, it's right up my alley because like they're like, spitting fly shit, but like the beats are like real weird and dope. Yeah, yo, I'm like, this is like my favorite shit.
Yeah, it's really good. Shit. I listened to it. I didn't finish. I think it was like 3 or 4 songs left on it to finish.
Yeah,
but what I heard was like super dope. Like I'm gonna go back and re-listen.
I've been bumping this shit on repeat. Yeah. I know Lissa's sick of hearing this shit. I'm bumping this shit in the crib all day yesterday and the day before yesterday. She's gonna
play some like NSYNC for her when she get home or something.
She got a lot of fucking nerve. We was talking about that shit before. She be grinding me up. She know I like I grew up in the 90s, yeah, like MTV era and shit. So she know I like real white, like guitar Nirvana, rock shit type like that, shit. Yeah. And she grind me up about that. But she likes fucking like NSYNC and shit
zombie,
like that.
Zombie.
Dog. We gotta figure out a way to incorporate the zombie song into Colors the Musical.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Somehow we gotta do
it. Isn't there a character like, oh, you know what it could be? Dude smokes the wet, like, yo, turns into a zombie. Like, there you go, man.
Was it Colors the one where my man smoked the wet and he got stuck at the party?
Yeah,
and niggas shot up the party and he ain't move.
Yeah,
because he was like stuck to the wall. He was too high. Listen, I don't know the visions of shit that we got coming for y'all. But yeah, the Fly Anakin, Big Kahuna OG shit, that's my shit that I've been fucking
with.
Yeah,
it's really
with.
Good.
Yeah, listen really to good. It. If you like niggas that rap real well and that's talking that shit, listen to that shit.
Y'all say we don't talk enough like real rap shit. This is real rap shit.
Come on. Y'all motherfuckers want us
they're
to
from
go.
Virginia or something like that, right?
Yeah, they from Richmond.
Richmond,
there's
yeah.
so much dope like shit coming out of Richmond. Their whole crew, Mutant Academy, is from Richmond.
I just thought, honestly, I was willing to check them dudes out on the simple fact that their name was Mutant Academy.
Come on.
Because like, it hits at like my 90s nostalgia kid vibe.
Hell yeah.
So I definitely like when I heard the name, I was like, "Oh shit!" I'll listen to them dudes. Then like I like Fly Anakin because it's like a tag to like Star Wars shit
right,
like that.
Right.
So
it's like you know these niggas can rap.
Yeah, yeah. So I definitely like I think this project is super dope.
Yeah, yo, super this dope. Shit, and they have a bunch of these two in particular do a lot of tapes together.
Uh huh.
This might be the strongest one out of all the ones that they've done. Word. This shit is super hard.
Shout out to the homie Rhythm.
Hey, shout out Rhythm.
She put me on to this record from Sampa the Great.
Ooh, yeah.
The Return.
Mm-hmm.
She told me about it a couple weeks ago. I started listening to it a couple weeks ago. They didn't like listen to 2 songs, then got distracted, never went back to it.
Yeah.
And then was like, oh shit, I want to listen to that record. So I threw it on the other day when I was riding around. And I was like, yo, I really like this.
She's
thing,
really
man.
Dope.
Yeah.
She's
really like from South
dope.
Africa and via Sydney, Australia, I think.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She kind of just came on the scene too only a few years ago. She's only been around for a few years.
Yeah. Her maybe her first EP. I remember I randomly came across it,
mm-hmm.
and it made my like year end list, like one of my maybe like 2016 or 2017, one of my year end lists. Her old EP is on.
The joint Final Form is like insane, dog. Man. I really like this record. Kind of gives me vibes because of like her accent. Kind of gives me vibes of like Lil Sims a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus, it's like super jazzy and like, you know what I mean. It's not like a boom bap record.
She can spit too.
She can spit her ass off, and so can Sims. So like, that's kind of, I think, like, honestly, I think it's the accent and then like, you know what I mean. They both spit real hard, so I think like I just kind of tagged them in my head.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is a really dope record. Sampa the Great, S-A-M-P-A the Great. Yeah. Fucking The Return.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's really it's really dope record.
I think she's coming to Philly soon.
Oh, really?
I think so. I could be completely bugging, but yeah, I think she's coming to Philly soon.
What's the name coming to Philly soon, too? Michael Kawanico? What's his name?
I don't know how to say that, bro.
I don't know how to say his name. He's so dope, though. He got a new record coming out. Shout out to, I forget my man's name. Playing It Bare is his name on IG. He posted about the new record coming out. And then, like, I was like, yo, I got to, like, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, yo, he's coming to Philly. And then he was like, yo, you didn't hear the new record? And threw, like, me the new record. And I was like, new record is fucking dope.
Right.
So I want to check him out. He's coming to Philly, like, November, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm about to rob or make a couple phone calls. Because I don't really do, like, the paying for tickets no more. You know what I mean?
You're not
like,
paying for tickets. Nah. And we not sitting in the...
Nah, I don't know.
Amongst the masses. Listen, you know what I'm saying?
GA ain't for me no more. Listen, like,
listen.
Too important for that shit.
I can't remember the last time. I'll go to some, like... You know, if it's like a house show, like some underground on the low shit.
Yeah.
But at a venue, I can't remember the last time I ain't been in a venue and I didn't get that preferential treatment.
Like, even a Johnny Brandis I go to and just like go upstairs. That's one thing.
Regular shit.
Yeah, but like, yo, I'm not going to the TLA and paying.
Nah. Even, I don't want to flex on you, but even like Johnny Brandis, I'm not out there with y'all. I'm in the back. Eating the they give niggas the cheese plates, and the little baby carrots and shit, and the hummus. I'm in the back with that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I feel you. Like,
we out here.
Nah, I'm not doing that. Doing that simple shit.
Nah,
so
not
make
at
a
all.
Couple phone calls. I'll get in there.
Listen,
you know what I mean. But
you want me to show up, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Look out for me.
Exactly.
Help me out.
Other than that, yo, we will not be here next week.
Yes.
There will be no new episode next week.
I am traveling to the American South.
Yes.
To the birthplace of jazz.
Yeah.
If I come back here with a trumpet and like one of the hats, one of the straw hats, then you know what happened.
Yeah.
Come on.
You do it. You are you going down? You hiring a second line while you're down there?
No.
No, you could just do that.
I know that.
You could just go hire a second line.
I feel ways. Me and Lissa was talking about that too. And then me and you were talking about it also. I feel ways about that. I'm like, I'm not from down there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I understand like they doing that, that's they hustle or whatever, but I feel ways about that. Yeah. I don't wanna be traveling around the world and be like extra touristy. I wanna be like a little touristy.
Yeah, yeah.
But not like extra touristy.
Oh no, definitely.
You know what I'm saying?
Are you gonna like hook up with Juvenile and what was the other boy?
Who Turk.
Young Turk. Get down there, hook up with them too.
I'm coming back with just like a Pen and Pixel Juvenile, like the what was it, 400 degrees?
Yeah. Or 300 degrees?
Nah, I think it was it's either 400 or 1,000.
Cause Wayne did the one up from that, right?
Yeah, I don't fucking know.
I remember being in Funko Mart.
Jesus. Rest in peace, Funko Mart.
And what was it? What you call it?
Armand's.
I remember it was either in Funko Mart or Armand's. And Bull walked in and was like, yo, let me get that Juvenile 400 degrees or whatever. And I just looked at him like,
you buy a Juvenile?
This one, like,
that was when the East Coast bias was real crazy.
Was real, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I was like, you really, you was really about to say, see what's going on, huh?
Yeah.
Like,
you had to use a triple B, huh? Ain't hard as a C, huh?
Yo. I'm going to be on the phone with Just when that song was getting played on, like, Rap City.
Oh,
and being like, oh, this is going to be a hit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, seeing it and being like, oh, I understand how music works. This is going to be a hit.
I heard... Podcast is done. I heard Cosmic Kev play that shit. And he was, like, the first person... I'm pretty sure it was Cosmic Kev. He's, like, the first... Because he used to lean more south than, like, DJ Ran.
Yeah.
When I heard that shit, I was like, nigga, this shit is hard. Like, we was like laughing, like, yeah, oh, what are you, what are you saying, blah, blah, blah. That shit, I fucked with
it. And J-Hot on that remix.
Listen, Jay was Drake before Drake. Yeah, I was like, you know what I'm saying?
Jay Wave rolling along.
He used to hop on niggas' wave. If you had a regional joint that was hot, Jay would hop on your wave a little bit. Drake just does it more intensely. Yeah. And now with the internet and everything, you can find regional shit even more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, Jay had that formula. Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, are we going to pretend like Jadakiss' first record didn't have like three down south joints on it?
Like, niggas used to do that. They'd be like, yeah, it's time to get dirty.
Yeah, they throw like Bone Crusher on there or fucking some shit like that.
Some fucking guy was harassing me. I was DJing at the bowling alley, and this guy, he came up and asked me to play Never Scared by Bone Crusher while I was spinning. I was like, I did the like bullshit DJ thing where like, maybe later, I got you.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, go away. So then this motherfucker, I'm at the bar. I'm finished. I packed up everything. I'm just at the bar drinking, probably waiting for them to come pay me or whatever. And this motherfucker comes up to me. He's like, yo, man, what's up? You didn't play Juvenile. You didn't play Bone Crusher. I was supposed to say Juvenile. I was like, you didn't play Bone Crusher. I was like, come on, man. Like, I'm done. Like, get out of here. And he's like, yo, man, don't front, bro. You know you like that Bone Crusher song. I was like, yeah, fucking 2003. Exactly. Get away from me. Like, why are you? I'm off the clock,
when
nigga.
I was getting crunk, you know what I mean? I was drinking my crunk juice.
Who you snapping in the club and shit. I'm like, nigga, I'm off the turntables. Why are you asking me about Bone Crusher? Go down to Atlanta and find Bone Crusher and fucking hang out with him if you love him so much.
I'm sure he's like working security in one of the clubs.
Nah, yo, Bone Crusher gotta be. Wasn't he in a wheelchair at one point?
I think so. He was a heavy dude. So, you know what I mean? Who else was on that record? T.I. was on that record.
T.I. was on the remix, yeah, I remember.
And somebody else was on
that. Was it Luda?
Might have been. Luda!
One of them niggas like killed it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to believe that it was T.I. Somebody.
Indubitably.
Yo, shout out to T.I. talking like a fucking Scooby Doo villain. At all times.
The rubber band man. Wild as the Taliban.
Nah, I'm all right. 45
in the upper head.
I fronted on him so hard, yo.
We need more Taliban references to hip hop, yo.
Oh my God.
That wave rode out, man. We need more Taliban references.
Juel Santana. Every other line. I'm surprised like the FBI didn't like investigate that nigga.
That's what he's probably locked up for.
That's,
right, I was gonna say,
that's on the low, probably what he caught a charge with for being aligned with Al Qaeda.
There's not a lot of ISIS references in hip hop.
Nah, niggas know better. Niggas are smarter now. Dog, them motherfuckers.
Not a lot of ISIS references.
Who was Petey? Petey said that in a line. He said something. I know niggas who done been in Afghanistan, but nevertheless, we ain't touched them Twin Tower pieces. You heard? I'm like, what are you talking about, Petey?
Fall back from that.
Yeah, don't volunteer that. No, like, you know,
please
niggas
don't have the FBI like bomb down North Philly. Like, please,
come on.
Nah, no, I'm good.
I don't know. So yeah, we will be back. Not next week, but the week after. So yeah, anything else?
Nah.
Oh, all right.
I'm chilling.
We out.
Peace.
Me and my fam pick this rap shit.